to put our trust in Him. But apparently some was saying to David that he ought to flee to some mountain. That is, that he ought to flee from his place of assignment and his place that God had brought him to. I want to remind you that the Psalms are songs as well. They were sang by the Jewish people in their worship services. And as we look through the Psalm, we find David living in a very steadfast manner. And so I want to preach for a little while this morning, if I may, on the thought of the song of the steadfast. You know, we're living in an hour when God's people ought to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. In fact, I think it was Brother Paul that said we ought to be unmovable, that we ought to be steadfast, that we ought to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we're living in an hour when there's a great falling away. And I'll say this, that there is a great temptation as well in the hearts of God's people to fall away. There's a great tug by the world, an enticement by the devil himself that would endeavor to lead the people of God away. I want to say, church, if there was ever an hour that we ought to be steadfast in the Lord, it's in the year 2004. I'm telling you, I'm hearing of preachers that are giving up in the ministry. I'm hearing of people that I never dreamed would quit on God, and yet for some reason or another, they're out of church, they're away from the people of God, and they're no longer serving God in that capacity. I know people that used to teach and preach, and now they're sitting on pews. I will say that the Lord wants you and I to be steadfast. Well, that's right. That's why it said, put on all the armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I tell you, I learned a long time ago that we may lose a battle every now and then, but the war is still going on. And friend, we're not going to lose the war. I've not been preaching long, but I'm learning some things as I preach through the Word of God and pastor a church. And I used to think that there'd never be a time that we'd ever even lose a battle. I want to say that we can lose a battle every now and then. But the war has certainly been won for us. Thanks be unto God. I'm looking to Calvary today, and I'm going to win the war because of the cross of the Lord Jesus. We're not working toward victory. We're working from victory. We have our victory today in the power of the cross of the darling Lamb of God. Amen. And I may wobble on the axle, but I'm telling you there, I'm going to come out in the right place. There may be trials and temptations, but I'm going to come out in the right place. There may be troubles and calamities on every hand, but I'm going to come out in the right place. I'm glad that God has got us cradled in His everlasting arms, and we're kept by the power of the Lord and sealed under the day of redemption by the precious Holy Ghost of God. Now, I'll tell you, we're living in an hour when people are tempted to fall away from God. When we're tempted to withdraw from the work of God. When there's an enticement just to sit down and become complacent of where we are. But I'll tell you, we need to press on. Like Brother Paul said, we need to press on, my friend, absolutely. And God's given us enough grace that we can press on unto victory without sitting down on our stool of do-nothing and doing absolutely nothing in the house of God. Falling away. I want to preach on that a little while. The song of the steadfast. And I'll tell you, it's not a time to quit singing. We ought to keep on singing. Not a time to quit praying. We ought to keep on praying. It's not time to quit praising God. We ought to keep on praising God. That's right. I'll tell you, the devil's trying to rob us of our joy. He's trying to rob us of our praise. He's trying to rob us of our worship. He's trying to rob us of our work. And it's no time to sit down and quit on God. Amen. I'm going to keep on praising Him. I was glad to hear Brother Jerome talk about being saved 365 feet down. They hadn't said that in a long time. But he literally was in that cave, mine 365 feet down working. When he got saved, reading an old King James 1611 Bible. That is absolutely right. And God is still able today to save sinners. And God is yet able today to keep you and I strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and stand fast in the house of God. That is right. We're seeing families destroyed. Family values going down the drain. Sodomites coming out of the closet. They're not coming out of the closet. They're trying to take over. Amen. In some places, they are taking over. Oh, well, I'll say some more about that tonight. Now, I don't want to get carried away on that this morning. I'll say some more about that tonight. I'm preaching on in Jude tonight on Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we're at. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. And I'll say more about that then. But I'll tell you, we ought to be steadfast here when there were some that were trying to convince David that he ought to flee to a mountain like a bird. David said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to stand fast in the Lord. Now, I want you to stay right with me for just a few minutes of a may. I think Spurgeon and others believe that this particular psalm was written while David was yet living in the court of Saul. He was yet there in the house of Saul. But I think Saul was beginning to show himself and his hatred and his animosity toward David. He had never came, I don't think, completely out against David. But David was able to recognize that there was some animosity there toward him. And it was there because of jealousy. My friend, I'm telling you, jealousy is a cruel thing. It's as cruel as the grave, absolutely. I'm telling you, you don't ever want to let jealousy take hold of your heart. Absolutely, it'll turn you bitter. It will make you an enemy of the people of God if you get jealous over things going on in the church. Or never get jealous about somebody singing. Or never get jealous about somebody teaching Sunday school when you're not. That's absolutely right. You'll never become jealous or envious because somebody may have a little more of this world's goods than you have. I'm telling you, jealousy is a cruel thing, friend. And it can destroy you in your life. It can destroy your testimony. That is right. It can destroy your joy and your happiness that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us this morning. God, help us this morning. Saul hadn't completely showed exactly what he was at this particular time. But David's friends became alarmed, I think, of it for his safety, and recommended to David that he flee to some mountain where he could find a hiding place from Saul. Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment and interject this. You better be careful about the counsel you get from friends. Do you remember the story in 2 Samuel 13 about Amnon? And Amnon's friend, I'm going to tell you, but hey, oh Amnon listened to his friend, and I'll tell you, it brought disgrace to him and disgrace to the family of David and disgrace to that household. And I'll tell you, a friend, you better be careful listening to the advice and the counsel of friends. I can tell you where you can get some counsel today. Right in that blessed old King James 1611 Bible. I'll tell you where you can get some counsel today from listening to the man of God preach. Miss Hall made a little joke about my office back there and talked about having drive-through counsel. People wanted to drive by and get drive-in counsel from the man of God. I won't say to you, hey, that's right, but I won't say to you, you better be careful. I don't counsel back there in that office. I counsel from this pulpit, and if you will listen to the preaching of the Word of God, I'm satisfied that God will give you direction in your life, and God will give you good counsel in your life. If you'll listen to it, God will help you in your life to win the victory and be steadfast in your service to God. Steadfast in the family. Boy, families is breaking up, homes breaking up. I've never seen anything like what they're going on. But these people recommended to David. They said to flee to some mountain. But David, hey, and David was advised to flee to those mountains. But I want to say, my friend, that God, hey, God's not merely a God of the mountain. And I want to say this, David did flee from Saul. And it would look from an outward appearance that David had lost the battle and lost the war. But I learned this a long time ago. We can lose a battle and still be steadfast in God. When I'm talking about being steadfast, I'm talking about not forsaking God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the reading of the Word of God. Not forsaking the close of the prayer. Oh, I said there may come a time when persecution will force us to do some things we don't like to do. But I'll tell you, we don't have to forsake God and leave God because of it. Be surprised if people's got out of the will of God. Are trying to find safety in time of persecution or verbal abuse or this or that, and they'll flee and leave and depart from the good counsels of the Word of God. And I tell you, they'll find themselves in trouble when they do that. Amen. I won't say God's the God of the mountains as well as He is the God of the valleys, or He's God of the valleys as well as He is God of the mountains. You know, when everything's going right, we sing that old song, God of the Mountain. He's the God of the Mountain. And we can live all right while we're on the mountain. But I say we get down in the valley sometimes. And those troubles and those trials begin to overwhelm us. And we feel like Job, like we've been deserted by all of our friends and God doesn't love us anymore. And we've lost just about everything yard loose. I want to say to you, my friend, that God is still God down there. In fact, it's in the valley where I found Him to be my lily. Oh, He is the lily of the valleys. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, there's more valley than one in the Christian life, buddy. It seems like we're in the mountaintop today, in the valley tomorrow. Back on the mountaintop the next day and back in the valley. I'm glad every time I go down to that valley, I find the Lord right there waiting on me. Like a lily of blooming in the valley, friend. He's that lily of our valleys today. We don't have to let the valleys deprive us of the blessings of the Lord. Neither do we have to run for fear when we're there. Oh, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm glad, thank God, in the darkest of hours, He's still our God. Amen. In the most difficult time of life, He is still our God. When all forsaketh, as they did the Lord that day when He died on Calvary, I'm telling you, He's still our God, my friend. God of the valleys as well. As He is the God of the mountain. Now I want you to notice about five things, and we'll not be long. Notice, first of all, that there is David's temptation to flee. He's being tempted. In the Lord, he said, put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. David said, I'm going to put my trust in God. But what on earth? Why are you telling me to run, to flee to some mountain, to some solitary place, to run from my trouble, to try to get away from my problems? I want to say this to you, church, that you cannot run from your problems. My God, we live in an hour when people think, well, if I have a little problem here, I'll just find something else in life. If I find run into a problem here, I'll move in another direction. I'm saying there's going to have to come a time in your life when you stand up to your problems and face your problems and walk through your problems and difficulties with Almighty God. Are you listening to me? Too many people want to run from their problems. As I always say, if you run, you're done. You run, you're done. But you better dig in. You better dig in and stand fast. What they told us in Vietnam, when we couldn't advance, they'd say, here's your shovel, boy, dig in. And don't lose any ground. Don't give an inch to the enemy. I say we ought to give place to the devil. If you give the devil an inch in your life, he'll take a mile. Don't give ground to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. And don't give way to temptations to turn your back on God and flee to a mountain. Like you can sit down and isolate yourself. You cannot isolate yourself from problems. They're going to follow you wherever you go. David had problems in the castle, in the palace. But I'm going to tell you something. He had problems when he got in the cave also. They were right there waiting on him. They just had a different face. That's all problems do, just take on a different face. Same problems, different face. A lot of preachers today run from one church. I've never in my life. They'll preach for a year and a half, especially their Southern Baptist friends. They'll preach for a year and a half and run into a little trouble in the church. And they think, well, it's time for me to move. And they'll go to another church, get there to find they got problems and troubles there just like they had where they left. You can't run from your troubles. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You mark that word fool, buddy, it means full. Absolutely filled up with trouble. And some of you tried to turn your mind off the trouble. Blot it out. Turn it off. If you turn it off, it'll go away. I'm telling you, if you turn it off, it will not go away. I want you to get a hold of this, what I'm getting ready to tell you. You can't run all your life where one trouble comes and leaves and then another follows it. Listen to this. David fought a bear and whooped it. He didn't whip him, he whooped him. He put a good one on him. I'd imagine David said, well, I got that old bear whooped. Hallelujah to God. I can sit back and rest a while. But it wasn't long after the bear's departure that there came a lion. And David said, my goodness, I thought I'd won. Now I killed the bear. And now I've got to kill the lion. And David killed the lion. And David said, well, I've got everything taken care of now. But it wasn't long after that till he heard a giant named Goliath that was defying the armies of the living God. He said, my Lord, I've whooped a bear, I've whooped the lion, and now I'm going to have to whoop this giant that everybody in Israel is afraid of. I'm telling you, I've never seen a time in my life when everybody is afraid to fight their battle. Then we ought to put on all the armor of God and stand fast. Get a song in your heart, the song of the steadfast, and be like David. Why tell you to flee at the yonder mountain? He said, I put my trust in God. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you don't know everything that's went on. I'm way down here, and I left God way up here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You may lose a battle now and then, but if you're still breathing, if you still got life in your body, then the war is not over. I'm going to tell you, not altogether how you run your race. Listen carefully. It's how you start it and how you finish it. That stuff in between time don't mean a whole lot. Because there's going to be troubles and trials and all kind of mess in between there. But if you come out of the starting gate good, I'm talking about if you get a good dose of salvation. If you go to Calvary and when you come down from that mountain, know that you're saved. That's why so many people run. They don't really know they're saved. Well, I hope I am. Well, I think I am. Bless your Lord, I know I am. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That is right. Old David killed that giant and he thought, I've killed that bear and that lion and killed a giant. And he said, now all my battles is over. But it wasn't long. It wasn't long till there came Saul. And then after he got over Saul and Saul died, he said, well, I certainly have rest now. But somebody walked in and said, guess what, David? The Philistines have invaded the land. Now I'm telling you, it was one fight after another fight after another fight. One battle after another battle after another battle. But I'm glad, thank God, when we fight the bear, that God will give us power to overcome it. And when we fight the lion, God will give us power to overcome it. And when we fight the giants, God will give us five smooth stones of grace out of the rock. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. There ain't nothing like holy grace. I'm talking about saving grace and sanctifying grace and standing grace. God gives grace. God gives grace to the humble and God gives more grace. I'm telling you, God's full of grace. Grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thank God for grace. Little old David reached down that brook and said, five small smooth stones here. Job said, take them, son. You're going to need all the grace you can get. He reached in his bag and got one, the number of God, and put one smooth stone between the eyes of the giant. Now I'm telling you, God will fight your battles for you. Who would have thought? That a little shepherd boy with a staff and with a bag and with a sling and one smooth stone from God could take down the giant. But he did it. He didn't know why he did it. I believe God took that, took his finger on that stone and said, right here's where I want to go. And the giant fell. I told that fellow yesterday, that army fellow, that's a master sergeant, just got back from Iraq. Tell me about a Presbyterian church he went to over there and had a Baptist preacher preaching in it from California and said they had armed guards on the roof and around it while he preached, had an interpreter and preached to those Iraqi people. Some of those Iraqi people said they'd been saved and they put armed guards around the building and said they would not let the Muslims come in and put them to death, buddy. So they wouldn't worship an Allah. They're going to worship God, the Bible. They're going to worship Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you what that man said. He said they had armed guards on top of the roof and armed guards around the building. And let that Baptist preacher from California, he said he was walking backwards and forth across that platform and shaking his hands around. Them Iraqis didn't know how to take that American gringo, buddy. Amen. They didn't get a hold of it. Here's a laying her down. That is an amazing thing. And I sat there and watched those men with machine guns and things around me. Then I asked after the service, what is going on here? They said, we're not about to let the Muslims come in and kill us. We're going to put up a fight, buddy. And I'm going to tell you, you ought not to ever let the Philistines come in after you put up the flesh. You know what the Philistines are? They're a type of flesh. Don't let your flesh tell you to run. David said, stand fast. There's a talk of the steadfast. Stand fast in the Lord. You can stand fast. Now your flesh will get to quivers. Your flesh will say, it's about time to get out of this mess. When I drove over here at 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, looked at my office, I said, what else can happen? Naked people walk down the aisles of the church. Automobiles run through the doors. I mean, people call you on the phone threatening to kill you. Well, I mean, what else can happen? I expect the sodomites any day to come in the front door. And I hope you got enough grace about you to throw them out the back door. And if you ain't, I do. Yay, man! I want to say that again. If you don't, I do. Somebody said, you're a little man. You ain't never seen me get a hold of one of them fellas, have you? And I'll put on my rubber gloves and go to work. Amen. There's no time to run. Are you listening to me? Somebody come to me the other day and said, preacher said, you're going to have to tone it down on the radio now. Said, you know, if you say one thing against sodomites, it's a hate crime. And the law will come down here after you. Well, maybe they will. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not running this time. I'm not running from the fight that is out there against sin. And I'm not running from the fight against Satan. And I'm not running from the fight against that wicked, ungodly crowd. And by the way, it was only a wicked man or woman that told David, flee to that mountain. God's people never tell you to run from a fight, buddy. Not time to run. Time for some of you men here to roll up your sleeves and fight a little bit. God help. I mentioned last week or whenever it was about some men having lace on their underwear. Little old Emily back there asked Miss Ruth, said, "What is lace on a man's underwear?" Well, it means a little sissy. Huh? My daddy didn't raise me to be a little sissy. Didn't raise me to run from a fight. And I believe that's why I got such grit in my crawl right now. One thing that helped me. And I'm going to tell you, putting my daddy's upbringing, my mommy's upbringing with a little bit of grace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm not about to run in the midst of the battle. I'm going to tell you who flees, buddy. The hireling, that guy that all he's there for is a paycheck. He's the guy that's going to lose. Not running in the battle. I'm not a hireling. You didn't hire me. God called me. I'm not. Mama called and Papa sent. That's right. God called and God sent. The Holy Ghost empire. Amen. I like it. I'd rather preach than anything I know. And keep on preaching. And if you'll stand with me, we'll stand and make it through the battle. But whether you stand or whether you run, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. No, that's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you believer starts out and he'll fight pride and he'll say, "Praise God. I've kind of got it over pride now." About the time you're done with pride, here will come envy and jealousy. About the time you whoop them, here will come lust. About the time you get over that, you'll get sick. You think you've won everything and your body will get sick. I'm going to tell you, when the battle gets real personal, friend, I'm talking about real personal, when it invades your own body and the devil tells you you're done, you might as well retire early, buddy. It's all over for you. Are you listening to me? One battle after another battle. Steadfast. I'm not ready to retire. I'm not ready to refire. We didn't have visitors this morning. We didn't have dignified visitors this morning. I'm telling you, I may rear back just a little bit and show you how to get real red-faced and spit. Amen to God. It's time some preachers got red-faced and spit a little bit. I'm sick and tired of the uptown churches and the First Baptist and all that crowd, and all they want is a 10-minute sermon. And at the door, they go with nothing in their heart from God. Praise God, I'm telling you, you won't stand out on four, you're going to have to get a little grit in your crawl. Brother Hall's going to preach. Chosen by the foolishness of preaching. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. And if it pleases God, it pleases me. And if it pleases me and God both, it ought to please you. I'm telling you, if you're really saved this morning, it was preaching and got you there, you ought to be real pleased about it. God didn't have to save you. He could have left you wallowing in your sin. He could have just passed you on by and saluted you. No, He didn't even have to give you an honorable mention. He could have treated you like the messenger treated me. I called him Friday morning. I said, "Y'all want a little story? Come down and look at my office." I ain't going to give me no story. Unless they won't call me a bigot like they did a few years ago. I'm bound to love them in the Lord, but I'm telling you, there's a battle that's on there, buddy. Amen and amen and amen. You know what they don't like about us? We're too stout for them. We're too stout in the Lord for them. We're too strong of a stand for them. Oh, they say we're a conservative newspaper. I'm going to tell you, their conservatism ends with abortion, buddy, and that's all of her. Ain't got an ounce. They don't have an ounce of conservatism about them. That's all they got is abortion. The reason they have, because they're Catholics. I'm going to tell you what Catholics done at St. Bartholomew's Day. You want to read about in history books? Say what the Spanish Inquisitors done that were led by Roman Catholic Jesuit priests. They'd do the same today if they could. Too many laws against it. Seen the Papa the other day dancing with Pentecostals. The Pentecostals were wearing little beanie hats on their heads. I don't know what they were. said they were Pentecostals. They all had beanie caps. I've never seen it. I don't think they're Pentecostals. I don't think they're Pentecostals at all. They were just Catholics in disguise. Don't get mad at me if you want to get mad at me. But they killed our brethren. Come on in the house. Hallelujah to God. Sickness leaves and sorrow comes, and we get over sorrow and get happy again, then we start having money problems. And it goes on and on. Then our family grows up and we want to send them off to college. Then they go through college, we want to send them on to graduate school. We want to get them a little further down the line. And it's still money problems. And by the time we get done with money problems, guess what? It's time to start thinking about where money's going to come from to pay it. Are you listening to me? I'm just telling you, it's from birth to the grave, ladies and gentlemen. And you better just determine today you're going to stand fast in the Lord. There was David's temptation to flee, and I'm going to hurry right here. David's trial of faith. Notice in what he says in verse number 5, said the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Amen. Now I tell you what, God will try every one of His children. The saints, the saints of God are precious in the eyes of God. And He refines them, and God refines us most of the time with some kind of affliction. God will refine us. Listen to this very carefully. None of the Lord's children may hope to escape from trial. All will have it. The trial of our faith being much more precious than gold, though it perishes. Every child of God is going to be tried. Somebody said, why? Hang on, I'm getting ready to tell you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't want to escape from that trial. Oh, no, we wouldn't want to escape from the trial of our faith. For it's there in the trial of our faith that we find out whether we're made of metal, what kind of metal we're made out of, if there's gold or if we're dross. What are you this morning? Are you gold or are you dross? Are you pure? As Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, are you pure Jerusalem steel? Or are you dross? Are you silver or are you tin? You've been redeemed or are you tin? Huh? Are you wheat or are you chaff? Oh, that the wind driveth away. Somebody said, preacher, what is that? I'm glad somebody asked me. That wind that blows upon the wheat and the chaff is the breath of the Holy Ghost of God, son. He knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff. When the Holy Ghost blows upon you, the chaff's going to flee, but the wheat's going to hang around a little while. He knows how to sift. He knows how to sift. That Lord sticks that fork in that wheat and throws her up in the air, and the Holy Ghost blows, and the chaff is gone, and the wheat settles. If you get a hold of that, the wheat settles and becomes steadfast. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He knows whether you're shadow or substance. All some people are is a shadow that declineth away. Are you real substance this morning? You got anything to you? Are you made out of something? Or are you just a shadow that's declining away? Somebody said, oh, preacher, I've got substance. What happened to your shadow? Oh, preacher, I'm substance. What happened to your joy? Oh, preacher, I'm substance. Where's your song in the night? Oh, He compasses us about with songs of deliverance and songs in the night. Where's your song in the night? Chaff. Are you made out of something? I'm going to tell you, I learned not long ago, Brother Jerome, not a shadow. I was preaching in here one day and come a flying down that hall and got real happy. And I run from there and jumped up in Brother Jerome's arms, and he caught me and never moved a quarter of an inch. I said to myself, he's every bit of a man. He's made out of something, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what David is saying, hey. But when the wind blows and the trials come and God is separating the wheat from the chaff. God, hey, are you substance, friend, that's made out of something that can stand against the trials, against the wind that is blowing? I want to I want to try to hurry. Number three, I want us to look in verse 2 very quickly and look at the tyranny of the wicked. He said, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They mark ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart." You get a hold of this now? Hey, that's right. Look at his power. Said the wicked bend their bow. The wicked stands fully armed with all the artillery at their disposal to destroy the righteous. And they're going to try to. Any way they can. I want all you fellas to look up here at me. Them cuss words you hear down on the job. I'm going to tell you what that guy's doing. He's trying to destroy your faith. He is shooting at you because you're upright. That is absolutely right. Them fellas that poke fun at you and call you Holy Joes and all this and that. You know what they're trying to do? Hey, they're shooting at the upright in heart. And they've got all the power that they can muster up at their disposal. They want you to run. They want you to come in someday and bend an ear to a filthy joke. They want you to come in someday and tell a filthy joke. They want you to come in someday with smoke on your breath again. They want you to come in someday with a can of blue ribbon between your legs. They want you to run. They'll do shoot at you every way they can to get you to run. Guys down here in the store the other day, and a fella come in, a businessman in town, got the pottiest mouth on him I ever heard in my life. And they're talking to a couple other men, and every other word come out of his mouth was a cuss word. I just run. And he said, "Oh, preacher, you can laugh at that. You can laugh at that. I never answered." The Bible said, "Answer not a fool in his folly." I walked out the door and left. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to visit places where people stand in and cuss like a sailor, especially if they own the place. I ain't listening to that mess. I'm going to tell you what it'll do. Come on in the house. That stuff will invade your mind and your thoughts. It ain't no wonder we come to church and we're not thinking about the Lord. We're not thinking about worship. We're not thinking about singing. We're not thinking about holiness and righteousness. We've got our minds filled with every kind of a mess under the sun. I want you to look at their policy. I've got something I want to read to you. Look at their policy. He said they shoot at you privately. In other words, they don't come out in the open, buddy. They're going to act like they're your friends. This fellow just acts like, "Oh," he said, "preacher, come back. I'm your friend." I said, "I'm afraid I'll offend you." "Oh, you ain't going to offend me." I said, "So long." They want to shoot at you privately or privately. I want you to get what I'm getting ready to leave. Hey, surprise. It says here that they shoot at you privately. That's kind of like surprise. Here's what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon says, "Surprise sets the ambush." And I hope I pronounce this word correctly. I have a problem with this word. Subtlety, is that right? Being subtle. It said it hides the knife. And then cruelty, like Joab to Amasa. Cut your throat. "Are you in health, my brother?" That's what Joab said. "Are you in health, my brother?" Under the fifth rib, buddy. The element of surprise. And cruelty. Buddy, I'm telling you, the devil's cruel. And that crowd out there don't give a flip how they get you. And hey, and look here. And when Joab put that knife in the fifth rib of Amasa, he walked off and left him wallowing in his blood. He wasn't even dead. He knew he would die, but he wasn't dead. And he probably walked off and laughed at him. Somebody said, "How do you know he walked off and laughed at him?" Because he walked off and laughed when Absalom was hanging in that tree. See you later, Absalom. You'll never convince me that Joab and Absalom wasn't in that mess just like that, or Joab would have never brought him back to David. And when Joab saw the battle was against him and he couldn't get what he wanted, he just left him hanging in the tree. He said, "You ought to run him through with a dart. Don't let him." You know why I didn't want him to live? Because Absalom would have told David what the problem was to begin with. Run him through with a dart. And he walked off and said, got on that mule of his and said, "See you later." He went riding off into the sunset waving. I'm going to tell you, that crowd out there will leave you wallowing in your blood. That crowd out there will leave you hanging in the tree by your locks of your hair, friend. Amen. The tyranny of the froward. Very quickly, listen carefully. The treason, there was a treason against the foundations. If the foundations be destroyed, What can the righteous do? He doesn't say if the